freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. While you're standing, I'm going to give you the opportunity to greet one another, and one of the ushers, if you'd be willing to grab an offering plate out of the office and stand at the back, that would be beneficial, and you can worship while you take the opportunity to greet one another as we sing this.
Yeah.
through you our hearts will praise. Through you my heart grieves under. Through you my heart grieves. I am free. I am free.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. To remind you, this Sunday is Mother's Day. We will be taking time out during the service on Sunday to celebrate our mothers. Take opportunity to give you a little small token of appreciation for being a mother. Just wanted to remind you that it's happening this coming Sunday. Again, there will be no PM activities here at the church on Sunday. No Revival by Design, nothing going on here at the church on Sunday evening. Want to give time for you to be with your family, celebrate. I know some are driving. Some will be out of town, I know, visiting their mothers. So we certainly respect that. But we do want to take opportunity to celebrate our mothers, and so we're going to do that on Sunday, and then next Wednesday night, I got a call from Brother Jenkins, who is our foreign missions director, global missions director, I guess is a more appropriate term nowadays. And I want to know if we'd be willing to have a missionary, Robert McFarland, to the country of Israel. And I said, well, certainly we had an opening. And I said, yeah, we will do that. So next Wednesday night, if you're interested in knowing more about Israel, what's going on in Israel, I'm sure that he will come to express his burden for reaching the nation of Israel. And so that is next Wednesday night, a week from tonight, here in service. We're having missionary Brother Robert McFarland here in service with us. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Other events are on the calendar and before service and between services on Sunday and at other times also. Please remember to look at Breeze and go on our church management software and find out what's going on when things are happening. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want us to, along with other needs, and I'm sure will be mentioned here in just a few moments, a very special need I was made aware of via Facebook today. Very good friend of mine growing up, she married Paul Paymer, who pastors a church in Barberton, Ohio. Many of you know, back in 2013, they had a little baby girl born to them, Grayson Paymer. Grayson was born, I believe, with portions of her brain missing. She has been pretty much an invalid for the 4 years. And they really didn't, they don't have the condition that she had and was born with. They don't give much life expectancy at all. She had lived past the time that most babies in her condition live. But today I was made aware that little Grayson Paymer did pass away at 4 years of age. And so I know the Paymers would cover it. And I know there's people all over the nation today praying, all over Pentecost praying for, more specifically for Paul and Brooke Paymer, the parents of little Grayson. And also Sullivan, her older sister, which I'm sure dealing with that. But I just really want us to lift up the Paymer family before the Lord. Great church in Barberton, Ohio. And I know that there will be plenty of people to gather around them, support them, and help them. But I think we would do well to join in that and pray for their comfort and their peace in this time of loss. So let's remember to pray for the Paymer family. Also, a man by the name of Trayvon. In Florida, this is somebody made Sister Nancy aware of this need. Was shot twice while being robbed. It's not doing well in critical condition. So don't have a last name, but Lord knows who it is. Let's remember Trayvon in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to? Sister Kellum. All right. Is that Colvin? Wait, okay, let's remember little Colvin in prayer, certainly, Sister D. Amen, amen. And what's her name? Carolyn. So continuing to Roscoe and Carolyn. Sister Christy? Certainly. Yes, remember. And also his daughter Kaylee. Remember her in prayer in that situation. All right. Yeah. Sister Phillips. Understand why it's happening. All right, let's remember. And you said that was Jackson. Let's remember with Jackson prayer, certainly. Anybody else? Starling? Yes, please do share. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. All right. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Why don't you stand? And along with bringing these needs before the Lord, let's start out by thanking God for His goodness, for His healing power, His virtue, and then we can progress into asking Him to help these needs. Can we do that right now? Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness, God. Healing power, God, Your virtue, Your mercy, God, that flows over us. God, we thank You, Lord, for Your wonder-working power. We thank You that You are still in the healing business. God, we thank You that You have a peace, comfort, and a help, God, that we can lean upon and trust in. God, we thank You that You're a very present help in time of trouble. God, we thank You, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we worship You. We praise Your precious name. We honor You, God, for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace. God, we bring these needs before You, God, in full faith and assurance of Your capacity, God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it's according to the power that worketh in us, God. Help us, Lord, to be people, to be vessels of Your choosing, God, to speak words of encouragement, God. Stretch forth our hands to heal, God, to enrich the heart and lives of other individuals. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We praise You, God. We honor You for Your goodness, God. Give You glory and praise, God. Oh, we ask You, God, to speak peace and comfort and help. Lord, I'm so thankful that the Paymer family knows You, God, and they place grace and God in Your almighty hands, God. You're such a loving, caring God. Lord, speak peace to them. Jesus, in Your precious name, we love You, God. We praise You. We thank You. We honor You, God, for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace, Your truth, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We're continuing in our study of boundaries. I will say this, again, next week, having missionary to Israel, Brother Robert McFarland, he will be here in service with us next week, so we encourage you to come and bring someone else. It's always a good talking point, especially right now, with what's going on in our day and age, to talk about Israel. And if subject comes up in conversation, or you bring up the subject in conversation, you may want to mention, hey, we're having a missionary to the nation of Israel. He's going to be in service with us next Wednesday night. And then the following Wednesday night, which is going to be the 24th, that will probably be, as things are shaping up, that will probably be the conclusion of our study on boundaries. That will give us a total of 9 weeks, and then there will be a grade. I'm kidding, that was a school joke. Nobody got it, but I'll move on. Just wanted to let you know we're nearing the end of that. All of our lessons and teachings are recorded. They're uploaded to the website, and please be patient with that process. It's not the next day. It does take some time to get them from here and then load them onto the server and have them available to you. But if you know somebody who's dealing with some boundary issues in their life, you may want to direct them to listen to some of these lessons, and not because I'm teaching them, but because I believe it's good material and it's helpful. And so we're gonna
go a little bit more tonight. We talked last week about not only the internal resistance, but the external resistance was our focus last week, why there is external resistance to developing boundaries. And then tonight we're going to continue in talking about developing healthy boundaries, but give you kind of 6 points, if you will, to think about in developing healthy boundaries. Almost a process, if you will, of how to develop healthy boundaries, how to know that the boundary is healthy. What are some indicators of the boundary being helpful? But I want to look at a passage of scripture. It's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Many of you probably heard of this verse, read it before, quoted it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Or in the International Standard Version, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, because from it flow the springs of life. I'm going to start off by talking about guarding your heart. Why do we need to set boundaries? Well, we want to guard our heart. We want to protect what is precious. We want to have things in place. We want to be proactive in setting appropriate boundaries because we know it guards our heart. Well, when the Bible talks about a heart, it's not talking about the blood pumping organism that we know is the four chamber organ that's in our chest. But the Bible is talking about the heart means the inner person, the mind, the will, the essence of who you are. And it talks about guard your heart is essentially saying guard who you are. In other words, protect who you are. Protect yourself. Protect your will. Protect your mind. Protect the essence of who you are. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. If we value something, we should do whatever it takes to protect it and to keep it safe. If you value who you are, you value your life, you value your time, you value your talents, you value your treasures, you look at your life and your abilities and you value those things and you think, and hopefully you do, that you bring value to life, you bring value to relationship, you bring value to others. If you believe that, and hopefully you do, and if you don't, well then that's a whole other subject for another time, but if you have value, you have value in yourself, and you understand that what you bring to the table has value, then you should do whatever it takes to protect that. Amen? The Bible tells us, give not that which is holy unto dogs, don't cast your pearls before swine. When you understand that you are of value, that you are precious, that your time, your talents, your abilities, what you have and what you bring to the table is something of substance, then you should do whatever it takes to protect that. You should do whatever it takes to make sure that what is your responsibility, what God has placed in your knapsack, which we've talked about from the very beginning of this study, that you are guarding that and you are protecting that and you are making sure that that is being taken care of like it should be taken care of. That you are not spending time doing other things that are outside your responsibility, because in doing so, many times we are neglecting to guard and protect and keep safe what God has entrusted to us. We are not being good stewards often when we are involving ourselves in things when we don't need to be involved in. Amen? So, if we value something, we should do whatever it takes to protect it and to keep it safe. This is why developing healthy boundaries is vitally important, because the boundaries protect what is precious. The boundaries that I set in my life protect my time. My time is precious. The boundaries that I set in life will protect my talents, my abilities, my resources. Why? Because they're precious. God has placed them in my stewardship. God has placed them in my knapsack of responsibility, and so they're precious. They're what God has given unto me, and so I should not squander them. I should not be irresponsible with them. God has given me these things, and so I have to have appropriate boundaries. I have to develop healthy boundaries in my life to protect what is precious. Amen? So let's talk about 6 points, if you will, that will help us in developing the boundaries. If we truly want to develop healthy boundaries, well then, there's some things that we need to understand in relation to developing these boundaries. And number one is some early warning indicators. How do we know when we're at a place where a boundary needs to be? What are some early warning indicators in our lives? What are some things that tell us, okay, this is probably where a boundary needs to be in place? So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about, and we've talked about this before, but we're going to delve a little deeper into some good boundary buddies. What are I need good boundary buddies to help me. I need people who will help me establish these good boundaries. And I need to make sure I'm connecting with people who are good boundary setters themselves. Individuals that can say a wholehearted no, that their no is no, their nay is nay, and their yay is yay, their yes is yes. Individuals that I can connect to that will be good boundary buddies for me. They will help me set and develop healthy boundaries. Number three, protecting the precious. Protect it because it's precious. Number four, maturing boundaries. You got to crawl before you walk. Walk before you run. You got to let the boundaries mature. We'll talk about that. Number five, letting go of the guilt. Letting go of the guilt because initially there will be guilt. It's a part of setting boundaries. It's there. We're going to talk about it and how to let go of it. And then loving life with boundaries. Loving life. What is life like with boundaries? And what is life like without boundaries? So we're going to get into it. So let's start with some early warning indicators. And this first topic and point you're going to love because Brady knows the boundary. How many of you know we have a new dog at the house? You know that? Well, part of our next-door neighbors, they run a rescue for dogs, and when we found out that they had this particular dog, we were interested in getting the dog, and one of the things that they were concerned with as obviously a rescue, I didn't lie on the application. I told them that we had two dogs prior and that they both had been hit on the road. And so the question was, you know, it was kind of funny because my next door neighbor was trying to, you know, we're new neighbors, so she's trying not to offend us, but she's running this dog rescue, and so she's trying not to be intrusive, but at the same point in time, you know, she's got to give us an answer as to whether or not we can adopt this dog. And so she's like, well, I'm concerned about offense. I was like, well, let me explain to you what happened with the first one that got hit. We had no fence at all. I said, it was nothing, and the dog ran out in the road and got hit. I said, the second dog, we had a one of those, you know, fence barriers on a collar, and somehow he broke the barrier, and he got hit. So it wasn't like we didn't try. We attempted to keep the dog in the yard. It just didn't happen. And so she said, well, are you going to put a fence in? And I said, yes, but it's going to be an invisible fence. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, it's going to be one of those that has the wire under the ground that, you know, has a fence like that. And she goes, oh, so she started asking me questions about that. Long story short, which is now, that's not going to happen. But anyhow, we got approved. And so we adopted the dog. And part of the training for the dog is there's a little collar that goes around its neck, and there's a wire that you put in the ground, and there's a warning indicator. When the dog gets a certain distance from that wire, the collar on his neck will make a tone. It's just a faint beep, like a little tone. And then the dog will recognize, after he gets stimulated, as they say, a couple times, he will recognize that when he hears that tone, he is approaching the boundary. He recognizes when he hears a beep, whoop, better stop. Because if you go further, you're going to get stimulated. Now, well, obviously when people first find out, the dog gets shocked. Yes, it does. The dog gets shocked, and it yelps, and it hops back. And they're like, oh, well, that's so cruel. I was like, is that worse than it going out in the street and getting hit by a car? No, it's not. And it's learning to, now Brady knows where the boundary is. Now he doesn't even wait for the tone to go off on the collar. He'll stop before the tone even starts. He's already marked the area. He knows he knows exactly where. And he will run that line. He knows where the boundary is. And the early warning indicator let him know, you're getting too close. And at first, I had like flags every 8 feet. And then, according to the training, they say, well, the next time when you mow, you got to pull all the flags up, which is kind of a pain. But then I'd put them down, they'd be about 20 feet apart. And now there's no flags at all. And though there's no flag anywhere in the yard, the dog still knows where the boundary is. It's amazing. You watch him, he goes out there, and he will stop before he gets to even where the warning tone is because he knows. If I go further, it's not fun. Brady knows the boundaries. Well, let's talk about some boundaries. Resentment, frustration, and or anger are good early warning indicators. Well, what do you mean? Resentment, frustration, anger. What do you mean those are good early warning indicators? What I'm saying is that when we experience this, first of all, when you experience these emotions in regard to someone's actions towards you, they violated your boundary. They violated the space, if you will. And though you may not have set the boundary yet, you recognize because of the anger that you experience, you recognize there's a boundary that needs to be there. Because of the resentment that you experience, that you didn't say no. Amen? Because of that that frustration that you gave in and you once again acquiesced and you did what you didn't want to do, your no wasn't a no, your no ended up being a yes. When those frustrations and those angers and those resentments are there, that's an early warning indicator. That's telling you that's where a boundary should be. If we've maybe said it or vocally or maybe mentally, can't believe this is happening again. I can't believe this is such and such did this again. I can't believe I'm so frustrated. Guess what? It's an indicator. There's probably a boundary that needs to be there. I can't believe such and such is asking me, so and so is asking me to do this again. I can't believe I'm bailing out so and so again. I can't believe so and so is treating me like this again. Guess what? Let that anger, let that resentment, let that frustration, let it be an early warning indicator. Let it allow you to understand there should be a boundary here. This is probably a good place to start developing a healthy boundary. It's a good early warning indicator. Or when someone reacts in these emotions in regard to your actions, you tell them no and boo, as we talked about, but they lose it. Man, they go ballistic on you because you had the audacity to tell them no in regard to this. You're going to put your foot down and you're going to make a stand and you're going to set a boundary here. Oh, no, you're not. And the counter move and the anger and the frustration is on their part in reaction to what you've done. Guess what? Probably a good place for a boundary. Probably a boundary needs to be there. You probably need to shore up that no and make sure it sticks. That's probably a good place to put a boundary. You see, sometimes we can somewhat test the waters with that. We can somewhat understand just how far I need to push it at this point, because I can understand that boundaries can be set incrementally, and we'll talk about that. I don't have to take it all at one shot. I can learn. I don't want to develop a crisis here, but I do want to conquer back some territory that I've lost over the years because I've been unwilling to set boundaries. When someone reacts in that way, anger towards you, frustration, resentment towards you because you had the audacity to say no, or you didn't capitulate, you didn't give in, guess what? That's a good place to put a boundary. That's a good place to start digging a post. That's a good way to understand there's an area I need a boundary. Look at Ephesians 4, 25 and 26. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Let's just be honest. Sometimes when I speak the truth and I set the boundary, the reaction to that is not good. There's anger, there's frustration, there's resentment towards me. But guess what? And sometimes they trespass that boundary. Sometimes they violate that space. And I get angry. Well, that's okay. Just because you're angry doesn't mean you're sinning. Just because you're frustrated, there's resentment, doesn't mean you're wrong. It probably means that's where you need to set a boundary. Be angry, sin not. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. It's how you respond to the anger that makes all the difference. It's how I respond to that emotion. It's how I respond to that frustration and that resentment. If I do so in the right manner, guess what? I'm setting a good boundary. I'm developing a healthy boundary. Talk about good boundary buddies. Number two, becoming connected to people who can help. People who can help without being overly critical. We talked about that in previous studies. People who are not overly critical. They can correctively criticize. They can help you. But they do so from a standpoint of experience. They do so. It's not condescension. It's not looking down upon you. It's not, oh, I can't believe you did that again. Look what you've done. Look at the mess you've made. No, it's not being overly critical. People who can help me without being overly critical or being hurtful or feeling hurt themselves. Some people are not good boundary buddies because if I try to set a boundary, they're going to take it personally. And I'm not taking, don't take it personally. This is something that's it's objective for all. It's just a boundary I need to have set. And just so happens you're the one that's if people who don't take it personally are good boundary buddies. People who I can say don't go there and they can respect that and they don't take it personally and they don't get hurt and they don't get all offended. And in a counter move, they don't turn around and hurt me. Well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to do this. No, a good boundary buddy is somebody who respects that boundary. Who will even tell you, yeah, it's probably a good thing, man. Probably a good thing that you're not doing that. It's probably a good thing that you are doing that. But they respect the boundary and they don't take it personally. They're not overly critical. Maybe even they say, hey, give it a shot. See what happens as a result. But if it doesn't work out, they don't come back, I told you shouldn't have done that in the first place. No, you didn't. Those are good boundary buddies. People who can help you without being overly critical. And who don't take it personally. They don't hurt you, and they're not hurt by you. They're not offended, and you don't easily offend them. They understand you're learning. You're trying to develop some healthy boundaries, and I'll support that. I'm not going to take it personally. I'm not going to get my feelings all hurt. When we develop relationships wherein we have the freedom to set limits, beautiful things happen. Beautiful things happen when we develop those relationships. When we have good boundary buddies, beautiful things happen. We are able to say unconflicted, wholehearted no and yes. Our nays are nay and our yays are yay. When we find a good boundary buddy, we can tell them a good, wholehearted, I'm not conflicted about telling you no. I can tell you no in full assurance and faith that you're going to respect the boundary. It's not going to hurt you, and you're not going to turn around and try to hurt me as a result of it. You're not going to be overly critical of the boundary. And it may not be exactly where it needs to be right now, but I'm trying to develop healthy boundaries. So I need you to be patient with the process. And as I set these limits, beautiful things are going to happen. If this is a good relationship and you're going to be a good boundary buddy, guess what? Some great things are going to happen. I'm going to be able to say an unconflicted no, wholehearted yes. I'm not going to have to worry about the result in relation to you because you took it personally. I'm able to set these good boundaries wholeheartedly. I'm not conflicted about doing it because there's some comfort in the relationship. We find permission to be honest, authentic, and loving. Think about that. We find permission to be honest. I can just be. How many have ever said this in regards to a great friendship? They're great because I can just be me around them. You ever said that? You ever heard that? I don't have to put on any airs. I don't have to act like somebody I'm not. I don't have to come with all these perceptions as to how I'm going to be perceived or how this going to. I can just be me. I can be honest. I can be authentic. And there's such love in that. There's such a candidness and transparency. When you truly have that kind of boundary buddy relationship with someone where you can share some of your innermost thoughts and feelings and your conflicts and the things you're going through. How wonderful that is. How refreshing that is. How releasing that is that I can be honest and authentic with you. And I can tell you about my struggles, and you can tell me about your struggles, and I don't judge you for them, and you don't judge me for mine. But together we work on them, and we try to develop and set healthy boundaries. And I can be honest. I can be authentic. I don't have to act like things are going well when they're not. Yeah. Because if it's someone that we're really close to, and that all-important question that everybody asks all the time, how you doing? And if it's somebody that we really have a good relationship with, we can be honest to that question. We can say, I ain't doing so well. And do so with the understanding that I'm not. Or say, I'm doing great. And really feel like we are doing great. Because if it's somebody that we do not have a great relationship with, and we maybe don't have those kind of boundaries set, and they ask us, well, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. And you could be doing the worst you've been doing in a long time. But you don't. You just don't really feel that. You don't have that gate there that allows them to come in and help. You don't know how it's going to be perceived, and so you just, oh, I'm doing fine. Things are good. When they aren't, and your yay is really a nay, but you won't say no. You're not doing good. But if it's a good boundary buddy, if it's someone who can help you, you can be honest with them. You can be authentic and say, nope, it stinks right now. I'm going through this, and I'm dealing with this, and I'm struggling in this area, and I need some help. I just need some support. You need that kind of Barnabas relationship, someone who will help you and come alongside you, not look down upon you, but help you and say, we're in this together. You can be real, and you can be authentic with that individual. You can be honest about who you are and what freedom there is in that kind of relationship. That's true love. You understand that I have faults and I have failures, but you love me in the midst of them. Protecting the precious. The basic sense of self, what is real and true, comes from primary relationships. Think about this. And this is why, now it's going to get real in here for a few moments. This is why even people years down the road struggle to find worth, self-worth, to find some preciousness, if you will, in their own being, in their own person. Because, here it is, often people have trouble seeing themselves as precious because the primary relationships that shaped them did so without healthy boundaries. The people that shaped their lives did so without healthy boundaries. And so they don't know. They're somewhat undefined in who they are. They don't understand their self-worth. This is why we talk about all the time the importance of a mother role and a father role and how those things are distinct and different and how they're necessary and should be applied to a life and how a parents that develop good, healthy boundary with kids. It's not always the case, but most of the time you have kids that grow up, and if they have good, healthy boundaries that are set around about them, they're able to establish and set good boundaries in their life as they grow. But then you have the other case, where maybe the individual was abused, or maybe the individual, the parents didn't have healthy boundaries in their own life. Maybe they dealt with their own addictions and their own struggles, and so they just received from the parent and from the other individual in their life that influenced them. I'm not making excuses. I'm not saying we're not responsible for our own stuff. What I'm saying is that over time and through life and socialization and other things that happen to us and that we experience, they shape us. And if a lot of that influence was done by people without healthy boundaries, if we had a lot of primary relationships in our life that were primary relationships without healthy boundaries, we suffer many times from a sense of not having much self-worth. And it's either masked over with great arrogance, or it's masked over in just giving in and capitulating and acquiescing. It is no wonder when it comes to the promiscuity of young people, it has a lot to do with the relationship of the parents. Read it statistically. Look at it. Why? Because if the parents set good, healthy boundaries, and if the young person growing up could see good, healthy boundaries in their primary relationships, it helped to shape them and have some self-worth. On the other end, the individual who was abused, molested, taken advantage of as a child, many times they grow up without much self-worth and they don't have many boundaries. Relationships are ruined. Things happen and they don't see themselves as precious. Understanding I am precious is key to making sure boundaries are properly in place. You have to understand you are precious. God sees you as a jewel that makes up the crown. God
sees you as precious. And though you may have had primary relationships in your life that did not help shape and form you because they did not have good, healthy boundaries in your life, it's so much more important, if you will, that you learn how to develop healthy relationships, because the ones that come after you are depending upon you now have primary relationships with other people, and you need good, healthy boundaries in your life to help shape them. You do. There's a, and I hope you indulge me for a few minutes. There's a song that was performed by an artist by the name of Kelly Clarkson, and she was talking about, it was a very, obviously it came from her heart, it was a very real song in relationship to a very fragmented relationship she had with her own father. And she sings about it, and she gets very emotional as she's performing this song live, because she's talking about the pieces that he left broken on the ground. But then when you read into what she's saying, she's talking about her now husband, who has such a great relationship with her daughter. And how that he's not going to do this. How that he's got good, healthy boundaries in his life, and he's not going to leave her in pieces. Do not think for one moment that those primary relationships in life and the upbringing and maybe the non-existent father or the non-existent mother or the abuses and the other things being taken advantage of, do not think for one moment that they do not shape, because they do. They do. And when the people that shape our lives do not have good, healthy boundaries, it hurts me, and it doesn't allow me to develop a good image of who I am. My time, resources, attention, abilities are precious and should be protected. Why? For the primary relationships in my life. Catch that. Time, my attention, my abilities. They're precious. And guess what? There's some times I'm going to tell other people no, because time with Austin and Kinsley and Landon is more precious. And so I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to look at you and tell you no. Why? Because that's a primary relationship in my life. I am, according to the Bible, if a man provideth not for his own, he is an infidel, and the truth is not. That's just not talking about food, clothing, and shelter. That's talking about good, healthy boundaries. That's talking about developing them relationally. So there's sometimes, guess what? That's precious to me. Being with my children and with my family, that's precious to me. And so I'm going to develop good, healthy boundaries to protect that. Am I good as that? As good as I should be in those areas? No. This is why I need this kind of teaching to God. Help me protect those things. Help me to make sure that those things are so precious to me that I do whatever I have to do, and I set whatever boundaries I have to set, and I keep away whoever I have to keep away. Healthy boundaries will make me a better partner in all the primary relationships in my life. Will. It'll help me be a better partner. It'll help me be a better boundary buddy to someone else. When I set good, healthy boundaries and I develop good, healthy boundaries in my life, it helps me be a better father. It helps me to be a better husband. It helps me to be a better person. And even from a secular level, it helps me to be a better employee. Or it helps me to be a better boss. Why? Because I have good, healthy boundaries. Things are precious to me, and I protect what is precious. And I set boundaries to make sure that stuff is not violated. It just is. Maturing boundaries. Start with a baby no. Start with a baby no. When that anger and that frustration, that resentment rises, and that's an early warning indicator, and boop, the tone goes off, you know, and you know it's there. Feel that internal resistance, the external resistance, all that stuff is happening, you know, and the things are going off. Just start with a baby no. Don't attempt to take all the territory back in one fell swoop. Don't create a crisis. But understand, I got to start somewhere.
I got to crawl before I walk, and I got to walk before I run. It's incrementally. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's incrementally. Start with a baby. No, let the boundary mature. I may start by setting it here. I really need to set it there, but I'm going to set it here because I only got enough strength to set it here for right now. But it's somewhere. And so I'm going to start with a no here. I'm not going to look at everybody and say no. Everybody comes to me for anything. No, 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 no. Ha, good boundaries. Don't ever come in. No, anybody ever ask me anything again. No to y'all. Doesn't work that way. That's not a good boundary. And it's got to be realistic. I mean, you got to set the boundary within reason. And it's going to take some time to develop. And you may have to start small. And you should. Start with baby no's. Why? Because it's going to graduate eventually. It's going to get stronger. It's going to get higher. It's going to go further. But I got to start somewhere. So I'm going to start with a baby no. Look at this. Luke 21:19. In patience, possess ye your souls. In patience. Possess ye your souls. It's not going to happen overnight. You didn't get this way overnight. You ain't going to fix it overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. You're going to have to work on it. And there's times where the boundaries are going to get busted and you're going to have to build them back up. But it's worth it. Stay with it. Develop the healthy boundary. Strengthen it. So before long, it's not, they try to bust it and it's no longer, it's impenetrable now. I've gained strength. At first, it wasn't, you know, it's kind of like the first little piggy that built his house of straw. Didn't work so well. But over time, the pigs got smarter. Setting appropriate limits with significant people is the goal. Setting appropriate limits with significant people is the goal. Now understand this. There's some people, and I know I'm not judging them, but there's some people that are more significant in your life than other people. There's some people that are primary relationships and other people who are not primary relationships. If somebody down the street comes up to my house, knocks on the door, open the door, and says, I'm not talking to you anymore. Okay. Don't even know your name. Have a great day. I'm not being demeaning. He's just not significant in my life. I don't know him. There's no connection there. No attachment. So you can tell me you're not talking to me anymore? Ah, you had to get that out. Hope you vented and it's all good. But somebody who is significant. Somebody who I do have a connection with. Somebody, good friend, where there's a lot of water under the bridge and says, well, I'm not talking to you anymore. Well, there's a little difference there. It's about significant people. It's about setting appropriate boundaries with significant people, focusing on those primary relationships and say, that's where those people that love me the most, those people that care about me the most, that I have the most connections with, those individuals at times are going to be the hardest ones to set the boundaries with. And so I got to start slow. I got to let the boundary mature. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some work. This will take a lot of time, work, and maturing. Remember, incremental growth is still growth. I was able to say no last week, but I failed this week. That's all right. Got a no in last week. Let's try to make and get a no in next week. Or you follow what I'm saying? Don't just because you mess up once or twice, or just because the boundary is busted every now and then, get back and rebuild the boundary. It's going to take some time. Letting go of the guilt. Two more points. I got 5 minutes. I think I can do it. Expect to deal with guilt initially. You will deal with guilt. That self-condemnation. Oh, man, I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't have said no, or maybe I shouldn't have drawn the line there. Maybe, oh, now I feel guilty. They're all upset at me. That response that they had, they were angry. They were frustrated. I could tell they resented the fact that I told them no. And maybe, oh, man, I feel so guilty about saying that. I feel so good. I can't believe I told them no. Oh, what are they going to think of me? Initially, you're going to deal with some level of guilt. You will. And that's all right. It's okay. Recognize it. Don't ignore it. Just don't give in to it. Recognize it. Ah,
yep, here's the guilt. I said no, now I got the feeling. Now I feel like I shouldn't have said no. I don't know if it's going to be better or worse. And, recognize it. Don't ignore it. It'll go away eventually, but it's going to take some time. This is another sign that you are developing healthy boundaries. Why? Because a weak conscience needs strengthening. Think about that. A weak conscience. I would just acquiesce before, and I didn't have the wherewithal to say no. I've said no, and now I'm dealing with guilt. Well, that's okay. That's probably a pretty good indicator that you're setting good boundaries. Stay with it. Don't ignore it. Recognize it. The guilt's there. But don't incriminate yourself and give in. Come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have told you no. I will. Oh, guess what? Now I've just taken steps back. Start small. Take baby steps. Recognize the guilt's going to be there. But understand this. With consistent work and good support, the guilt will diminish. Before long, you'll be able to say no with a completely clear conscience. You'll be able to understand that it's a good, healthy boundary, and you'll say no without any qualms. You'll say no, not in a meaningful, hurtful, condescending, or disrespectful way, but you'll say no because you recognize that you're doing so in protecting something that is very precious, and you're not just willing to give it up, and you're not just willing to give in, and you set the boundary, and it's a good boundary, and yes, you dealt with a little bit of guilt initially, but now I can say no, and the fact that you're upset doesn't really bother me that much. Not because I don't love you, and not because I don't think you're a wonderful person, but because something is very precious to me and I'm protecting it. And so I'm telling you no, and I no longer deal with the guilt. Diminishing guilt provides proof of a strengthened boundary. When I can say no, I do so with a completely clear conscience, I ain't worried about it anymore. I don't really worry about how you respond to it because I know it's a good, healthy boundary and it's set. And I really don't have much guilt about it. Guess what? That's a sign that the boundaries strengthen. Because if I am able to set those boundaries, those healthy boundaries in the primary relationships in my life, those people that I'm most connected to and most influenced by, when someone else who doesn't have the impact and influence that this individual does comes to me, guess what? No's going to be easy. No, I'm sorry. Can't do that. Appreciate you asking. But I've got other things that need my attention, and I can't do that. Now, understand, this is not a lesson on how to cop out. All right, please get that. This is not a lesson how to be your own person all the time and not care about other people. We've talked about that in depth. This is not a self-centered, selfish, I am, you know, the king of my own castle and nobody crosses. That's not what I'm talking about. This is about areas that you recognize in your life where you should have protected stuff that is precious, that has not been protected as it should, and now you're going to start developing healthy boundaries to protect those things that are precious in your life, and you're going to do so, and before long, you're not going to feel guilty about doing it. You're going to mature in the process, and before long, you say no with a clear conscience, and you're not really worried about their response because what you're protecting means more to you than how they respond and their opinion of you. Loving life with boundaries. Oh, better wrap it up. Life with boundaries is life without the frantic hurry and worry of ambiguity and undefined responsibility. You say, wow, that's a lot of words. Think about it. Life with boundaries is life without the frantic hurry. I'm trying to put out all these fires. I got so many irons. I'm trying to do all this. I'm trying to do all that. Worry, oh, did I offend that person? Oh, is that person going to be okay with me? Oh, I didn't do what I thought I was going to do, and I told them yes and wasn't able to do that. And, oh, this person over here, did I say I would help them? I can't remember if I said it. And, oh, man, the kids got to do this, and I got to go here and do that. And, ah! No definition! I don't know what's most important, what's not important. I think this is precious, but that's also precious, and I'm not really sure. How do I do this? What do I do? That's life without boundaries. That's life without being able to tell people no and define what is precious and stick to that and say, I'm focusing on primary. Once that's done and boundaries are set right, then I'll focus on other people. Now, I'll develop those boundaries. But life with boundaries is life without frantic worry, hurry,
ambiguity about what is important, what's not important, an undefined responsibility. Should I do that? Should I put that to someone else? Should I delegate? Should I not delegate? How do I do? What do I do? All right, I'll move on. Trying to meet unreal expectations for yourself and others. Life with boundaries is life without trying to meet unreal expectations for yourself and for others. Sounds pretty good, huh? Life with boundaries is life with direction and fulfillment. I know my responsibilities. I know what lane I'm to run in, and I'm going to run in that lane right and good and true. I have direction and I have fulfillment. I'm focusing on the precious relationships and the primary relationships in my life that are precious to me, and I find fulfillment in that. I'm sorry. I enjoy doing some things, and I enjoy being compensated for working and doing other things. But guess what? The primary relationships in my life are precious to me. And if sometimes work has to be put on the back burner and set aside to focus on the primary relationship, I better learn how to set that boundary. I better learn how to tell bosses no if that's what needs to happen. Because if it's negatively influencing the primary relationships in my life, guess what? Comes a point in time. I told a man one time who was struggling, had a big decision was going on, and he didn't know how it was going to end up. And I told him, if in any situation, if in any way you can still be with your family and you have to live in a box, live in a box. Be with your family. That's what's precious. Care if you lose it all, you lose the house, the cars, all the stuff that tries to, you think makes who you are. That's not who you are. Who you are is a father to those kids and a husband to that woman. That's your primary relationships. Do whatever you got to do. Those have to be what is most precious to you. Life with boundaries, life with direction and fulfillment, rewarding relationships. I can be honest and true, a clear conscience and assurance in who we are. That's life with boundaries. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Sounds good, Pastor. That's what I want. Well, you can have it. You can. Set good, develop healthy boundaries. And you can have that. That can be a part of your life. Is it going to take time? Certainly. Is it going to take work and effort? Certainly. Stay with it. Stay with it. Let it develop. Let God lead you. Let the people of God help. Find good boundary buddies in your life. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your word. It challenges us, God. It awakens us to the realities, God, that we all live in and exist in. God, and I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, as we endeavor to set and develop good, healthy boundaries in our life, God. Not to be selfish, Lord, but to protect what is precious. To understand you have placed stuff in our responsibility and our care, God. Primary relationships that we have that need to be protected at all costs. And Lord, we should do whatever it takes to keep them safe and secure and protect them, God, to watch over them, to make sure we are doing our due diligence, God, that we are taking care of and we are being good stewards of what you have placed in our care. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.